chapter 3. That's where we'll be laboring in this morning, particularly verses 3 and 4. But we've been looking at how important it is to be disciplined in our speech, to have control of our tongue. James stresses the importance of controlling our tongue. And he uses three different classifications that reveal the power of the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, we see that the tongue has the power to direct. In James chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, we see that the tongue has the power to destroy. And we see that in 9 through 12, that the tongue has the power to delight. Today we're dealing with the power to destroy, the power to direct. The tongue has the power to direct. And two illustrations are given, the bit in a horse's mouth and the rudder of a ship. Let's read James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. I'll read it as you follow along. Behold, they put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now, if you look at your tongue in relationship to the other parts of your body, it's very small, but it is very powerful in influence. The uncontrolled tongue is clearly said to be set on a fire of hell in James chapter 3 and verse 6. We'll be getting to that. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Job chapter 19 verse 2 says, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with your words? Oh, the tongue can be very, very vicious. James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, when I'm talking about the tongue having the power to direct, what I'm talking about is that the tongue has the power to influence. The power to direct is illustrated, as I mentioned, by the horse's bridle, particularly the bit on the horse's bridle and the ship's rudder. And when I say the tongue has the power to direct, I mean the tongue has the power to affect other people's lives. It can affect other people's lives for good or for evil. The tongue can sway men to violence. I've seen things escalate. And when I was a lead man, I saw things escalate into a fight between two women by the use of their tongue. It escalated to violence, and a violent fight it was. It can move people to the noblest actions, to wonderfully noble actions. It can instruct the ignorant. It can encourage the dejected. It can comfort the sorrowing. Can soothe the dying. Or it can crush the human spirit. It can destroy a reputation. It can spread distrust and hate and bring nations to the brink of very war. During World War II, I even remember seeing some old signs in antique stores. I wasn't alive in World War II, believe it or not, but loose lips sink ships. Any of you ever, you at least heard that. Because sometimes the enemy can pick up various pieces by people just talking without thinking what they're saying, and it can cause real problems. But loose lips can offend others. It can even wreck their lives. That's why it is so important to have your tongue, my tongue, our tongues, under control. James begins with using the illustration of a bit from a horse's bridle. You can see a little picture in your study notes there. Many of you will very clearly know what a bit is, but there is an illustration of one of the common bits used in some of the horses. The typical bit weighs not more than a pound. And yet, with that bit in the horse's mouth, the horseman can control and turn around a 1,000-pound horse. The bit is small, but it's powerful. If the horse is to be useful, then it must be under control. If you are to be useful, then your tongue must be under control. One old preacher said it this way. The bridal bits are not impressive in size, but they can hold a high-spirited horse in check and keep him from running away. If you are old enough, probably not many of you are, but if you are old enough, you may have recollections of a horse and buggy, of horse and buggy days. The author says, I recall seeing a runaway horse, a horse run away, and turn over a buggy and bring death and destruction to the family. In the same way, the tongue can run away. It can also bring destruction. Still lives in my mind today when we went on a horseback trip and we asked the man if little children can ride these horses. And they say, oh, yeah, the horses are so tame. And so we put Carla and Steve and Sarah on a horse. And Sarah's horse takes off like crazy. And just Sarah's holding on for dear life as a little girl, and it scared us to death. Fortunately, he rode after the horse and finally got the horse under control, but I was worried for the life of my daughter Sarah because the bit. She didn't have the bit, didn't know how to work it, any of that sort of things, and the horse was spirited and wouldn't be controlled. Your tongue, when it's out of control, can cause a lot of problems. If a Christian is to be useful for God, he or she will need to keep his or her tongue under control. I mean, seriously, under control. Matthew Henry, one of the old commentators, says this, the more quick and lively the tongue is, the more quick and lively the tongue is, and it's very interesting, the more should we thus take care to govern it? Otherwise, as an unruly, ungovernable horse runs away with his rider or throws him, so an unruly tongue will serve those in like manner who have not command over it. I appreciated what Robert Barnes wrote in his commentary. A man always has complete government over his tongue if he has entire control of his tongue. It is that by which he gives expression to his thoughts and passions. And if that is kept under proper restraint, the rest of his members are as easily controlled as a horse is by having the control of the bit. David had a proper perspective on everything in Psalm 31, verse 9. He said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, he says. I'm going to keep my tongue under control. I'm going to keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. In other words, David said, because he wanted to give the right kind of testimony, he realized the importance of having his mouth bridled, having his tongue under control. My friends, there are a lot of Christians today who ought to be wearing a bridle and a bit in their mouth. Now, the tongue that is bridled is used of God, as it were, and accomplishes his purposes. The tongue that is not bridled makes a mess of things. The next illustration that we go to is the illustration of the helm of a ship. James chapter 3 and verse 4. Look at James 3, 4, if you would. It says, behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now, I'd like you to look at the word helm. If you were to look at the word helm in the Greek, it is pedaleon. And that's where we get our word paddle or an oar. It literally means the blade of an oar. In your study notes there, I put a picture of an old ship. And an old ship, the helmsman would steer the oars. The helmsman would steer the oars. The same word is translated rudder in Acts chapter 27 and verse 40. So you have the same word that's translated helm here. It's translated rudder in Acts chapter 27, verse 40. And you can see that there. It talks about loosing the rudder bands, because when a ship was going, oftentimes they would have the bands or the rudders tied down, the oars tied down, so it would go in a particular direction as they were sailing. The rudder, it's very small. I used to drive back and forth to Central Michigan University as a young man. I'd go up I-75 and then cut up across Mount Pleasant. And I'd have to go over by Saginaw something called the Zilwaukee Bridge. The Zilwaukee Bridge. If you've ever traveled on I-75 in Michigan and you're going north out of Detroit, you go up by Saginaw, there's the Zilwaukee Bridge there. Well, there was a large ship that broke its rudder. And I had to make a big detour because that ship crashed into one of the pilings on the Zilwaukee Bridge because it was uncontrolled. And before they let cars go across this big drawbridge, it was a big drawbridge, right on the expressway, before they let the cars go across, they had to inspect to make sure that the bridge wasn't damaged because the rudder on that ship was broken and the ship could not be steered, and it caused a major amount of problems. Now, the rudder, though it's small, must fight winds. The little rudder must fight currents that would drive the ship off course. And our tongue is like a rudder. It needs to be controlled, because if it's not controlled, we'll go off course. We'll head in the wrong direction. We'll cause havoc. We'll cause problems with our tongue. You see, the human tongue faces contrary forces. You know that. It faces the old nature that wants to control us. Our old nature is motivated by our sinfulness. And then there's the circumstances around us. It's always real easy when we come into certain circumstances to open up and let people have a piece of our mind. The problem is when you do that, I can tell you, the wrath of man worketh not the will of God. It never turns out good. It never turns out the way that you think it would. There are circumstances all around us that make us say things that we ought not to say. You got sin on the inside and you got pressures on the outside. And they're seeking to get control of my tongue. They're seeking to get control of your tongue. Now, our tongue can really get us into trouble. It can. There's no question about that. I don't know who wrote this poem, but it expresses the two aspects of the tongue here. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may soothe the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. Both the bit and the rudder must be controlled by a strong hand. The bit in the horse's mouth, the rider has to keep that, keep those reins tightly, and that horse there, he can turn it by pulling one way, and the horse turns one way, and you pull it the other way, horse turns the other way, pulls both of them, and the horse stops. That's about all I know about horse riding. That's the way it's supposed to go. But anyway, yes, but there has to be a powerful hand. There has to be a powerful hand that is on those reins to control that bit. A rudder must be under the control of a strong hand as well. Experienced pilot courageously steers a ship through the storms. And when Christ controls your tongue, then we don't need to fear about saying wrong things. You know, you can even say the right thing in the wrong way. I've done that before. You can say the right thing in the wrong way. You can say, "Oh, honey, I love you so much." Or you can say, "Yeah, you know I love you." Oh, There's a big difference. Content pretty much the same, but the inflection is different. So Christ needs to control our tongue. We see again, as I mentioned earlier in the message, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Solomon warns about that. And then David prayed, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing." In Psalm 141, 3 and 4 that we saw last message. Now, David knew that the heart, and you know what the heart is? It's right up here in between your ears. The innermost of your being. The heart is the key to right speech, because Matthew chapter 12 says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks, my mouth speaks. It all is being thought about up here before it comes out here. You know, after you say it, somebody says, "I didn't mean it." Well, no, you meant it at the time. When you said it, you meant it at the time. That's what you were thinking, because then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when Jesus Christ is Lord of the heart, He's also the Lord of the lips as well. Never underestimate the guidance you give by the words you speak. It's very interesting to read, and I just don't have time this morning, but I was going to go through and pick out portions in John chapter 4, 1 through 54. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and her life and the lives of her neighbors experienced change. She goes back and tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He had said to her and how it changed her life. I'm thinking about Peter when he's using his tongue and he's preaching at Pentecost. 3,000. It's hard for me to fathom. 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior on Pentecost. I think it was last year, pretty sure it was last year, that Pastor Darrow and I were out east. Yes, it was. In Massachusetts, but we took some side tours, and we went into Boston, Massachusetts. And I was looking for, didn't find it this time, unless they took it down, but where the Staples store is in Boston, Massachusetts, just to the right of the Staples store, I've taken pictures of it before, there's a little placard there. And the little placard says, this is where D.L. Moody, Dwight Lyman Moody, was saved on April 21st, 1855. You see, D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman at the time. And there was a man named Edward Kimball. And Edward Kimball walked into where D.L. Moody was selling shoes. And he shared Jesus Christ with D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody was gloriously saved in the shoe store there in Boston, Massachusetts. And what's the result of those words? Well, the result is one of history's greatest evangelists. Thousands came to know Jesus Christ because Kimball used his tongue to share Jesus with Moody, and Moody got saved. The tongue has the power to direct others to make right choices. You know, I think it's real good. We went through in our college and career Sunday school class, and we went through verse by verse through the book of Proverbs. I'm amazed at how many passages of scriptures in Proverbs there are that have to do with the tongue. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. I think it's good for all of us to read Proverbs from time to time, very frequently. It keeps things like this in our minds. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. I like Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth no sin. But he that is, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Yes, the tongue is like a bit and a rudder. Very little, but it has the power to direct. We need to make sure that our tongue is not set on fire of hell, but is under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of the utmost importance that our tongues direct people in the right way. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the place to start. After you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me just, we're not going into specifics, but after you got saved, how many of you recognized a change in your language and your speech? Yeah, just look around. Just look around. If you don't know Christ, that's the place to start. Call upon His name. Repent of your sins and be saved.